Zechariah chapter 5, and we're just going to look at the whole chapter today. Let's go ahead and pray before we start and prepare our heart for this word. Lord, we thank you for the word of God, the living word of God that proceeds from your heart, carried on the wings of your spirit, released through the death of your son. Father, we just are open books. Our hearts are like an open book for the Holy Spirit to write upon. Our beings are yours to fill with your son and to deal with, Lord, for more of Jesus. And Father, I just declare that I know nothing as I ought, that Father, it is only your Holy Spirit that can break the bread of life and make a word something living within us to bring forth Jesus. So Lord, may your Spirit minister to each heart just as he would, and may your word speak. We come up under the authority of the word of God and under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord, as we together just look at the scriptures as people who are hungry and desirous for more of Jesus to truly live through us. So have your way, Lord. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the word. And thank you for your son. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So I'm going to read from several different versions just to give us the general context of this chapter. So this is called the Abbreviated Bible, and it's very, very brief, but it gives us just the basics. So we have Zechariah saw a flying scroll 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. An angel explained that a curse was written upon it against those who stole and swore falsely. The Lord says, I will enter into the house of the thief and the perjurer and consume the timbers and stones. Then the angel showed Zechariah a bushel basket containing 100 pounds of lead. The angel said, there is a woman in the basket named Wickedness. He thrust her back into the basket and placed the lead cover over her head. Then Zechariah saw two women with wings like a stork. They picked up the bushel basket with Wickedness inside it to carry that bushel basket with that woman in it into the land of Babylon, where a house was to be built for her. Okay, that's the first version. Quite a chapter, huh? Okay, and now we're looking at another version. This is the Moffat translation, and this is Zechariah again, chapter 5. It's an even shorter translation. It's called the Sixth Vision, the Flying Book. I looked up again and saw a surprise, a book on the wing. A book flying. The messenger angel said to me, what do you see now? I said, I see a book flying, a huge book, 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. He told me, this book is the verdict going out worldwide against thieves and liars. The first half of the book disposes of everyone who steals. The second half takes care of everyone who lies. And I launched it, decree of the God of the angel armies. And so it will fly into the house of every thief and every liar. It will land in each house and tear it down, timber and stone. The seventh vision, a woman in a basket. The messenger angel appeared and said, look up, tell me what you see. I said, what in the world is that? He said, this is a bushel basket on a journey. It holds the sin of everyone everywhere. Then the lid made of lead was removed from the basket, and there was a woman sitting in it. He said, this is Miss Wicked. He pushed her back down into the basket and clamped the lid over her head. Then I looked up and saw, to my surprise, two women flying. On outstretched wings, they airlifted the bushel basket into the sky. I said to the messenger angel, where are they taking the bushel basket? He said, east to the land of Babylon. They will build a garage to house it. When it is finished, the basket will be stored there. Wow, that is quite the prophecies. Well, let's look at the King James now that we've got two basic versions, and we will refer to those. We're going to start, of course, with the first or what is rather referred to as the sixth vision, but the first portion, the first half of chapter 5. And I am just, oh man, I love what my personal meditations from the Spirit on this are going deep into my heart. I feel like they need to go much deeper in, and I want to be open. I want the word of the Lord to find entrance in me personally, and that's the place I'm sharing it from. Certainly not teaching anything that I know or could instruct anyone in. No. We're just searching the scriptures for Jesus together. And that is the spirit in which I am approaching this as we even now share our hearts. But let's look at chapter 5, verse 1. And let's remember where we came from last week in chapter 4 about the sons of oil and the witnesses drawing life out of the tree of life, out of those branches grafted into those trees that were producing oil and filling them with the Spirit of God and in bringing forth that fullness. That was an amazing vision that we had in chapter 5 and deeply encouraging. And in a certain sense, what I would consider the true picture of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. I mean, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, we are now seated in Him. And we are partakers of all of the riches that are found within Christ. I mean, He has given us of His fullness. And grace for grace have we received of that through oneness based on His cross, His death. And we are sons of oil. We are full of Jesus. He is in us completely, and we are completely in Him. And that is true in that finished work, in that spiritual reality. That is our identity. That is the truth of who we are in Christ. And that encouragement came to us for these first four chapters in Zechariah very powerfully, how the heart of the Father was stirred, was lifted up out of His holy habit, was aroused from His holy habitation because His Son was being loved and people were drawing to Him in a certain manner where they were embracing Him and wanting to be a habitation for Him. I mean, they were thinking upon Him and caring for His needs, and this stirred up the jealousy, the love, the passion, the covering of the Father, because His Son was being tended to after having laid forgotten for 88 years at the point this prophecy began. So we felt that incredible, straight out of the heart of the Father, that encouragement to continue to draw nigh, to just release ourselves into this eternal pursuit of the Son, to build ourselves as His home, that He might, in His Lamb nature, be housed, be welcomed. You know, and here's the deal. And I think that this is as wonderful as all the first four chapters of encouragement, as all the most blessed times of fellowship in the face of Jesus, in the presence of the Lord, all the oils and all the rich encouragement that can come. I think it personally that just as precious as all of that is when the Spirit of God says, you are responding to my heart. You really, really want to receive this ministry. You want to enter in. You want to be built as a living stone in the habitation of the Son. You know, you want it. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to do an internal work to build you in this way, to make it really happen as it is in heaven, where you're finished, you're complete, you're in Christ, you're seated and settled and one with Him. As it is in heavenly places in Christ, so will we build it in earth in you, that it might manifest down here in your life and in your walk. Any builder understands the process of laying a foundation. We talked about foundations last week and about how important it is to lay the right one, which is Christ in Him crucified, but how to build up from that foundation, the living stones. And I mean, isn't it true that the Holy Spirit was sent to build up the temple? We are the temple. He's coming to work on us for the Son to have a house. That's a good thing. That he wants to, he's a wise master builder. He knows the blueprint by oneness because he's one with the Son. The Holy Spirit knows how to lay those stones and get that habitation ready and all that. He understands. So listen, when he starts dealing with me really heavy, instead of getting all caught up in myself, I just go, praise the Lord. He has, the Spirit of God has heard my heart cry, has seen my desire and response that I really want this to be real in me. I really, really, really want to be built up from these burnt stones into a place where Jesus can live. I want to be that in a real way, just like David did, just like Moses felt, just like all Stephen became. I want it in my life in a real way. I don't want to just come to Jerusalem and then fall asleep or get depressed or become discouraged or get caught up in my failures or think about all kinds of issues. I didn't come all this far to just be swallowed up in the earth and myself. I came this far to be built up as a habitation, as a house for the Son. And so, Holy Spirit, we're going to have to roll up our sleeves. We're going to have to open up our hearts. We're going to have to get serious and real. And I'm going to have to let you have access to my heart and to my inward parts, to my motives and my intents, to divide soul from spirit and joint from marrow and get this house ready for the Son. This house that is me, that is you, that is us. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Isn't that what John the Baptist? I always think of him like the Holy Spirit standing in the wilderness of me, the wilderness that is Kelly, this barren, dry land called Kelly. And I see the Holy Spirit standing in the middle of that wilderness, crying out, prepare ye the way of the Lord, prepare ye. And he's saying, Kelly, let's make those high things low. Let's get that pride crucified. Let's take those low things that are the lamb and let's raise them up and let's make the crooked things straight. Let's get ready for the Lord to come suddenly and fill his house. Doesn't it say that in Malachi? When the Lord comes suddenly, when the Lord comes, he comes suddenly and fills his temple. I want to be ready. I want to be ready for Jesus to appear inside of me and have a place where he truly can dwell without Kelly being his roommate. Amen. He's stealing his glory, doing his jobs, being the minister, taking over. Hey, I need to be dead and out of there the day he moves in. It's his house. He's the life. And glory to God for the Holy Spirit who starts getting the house ready for Jesus. In my heart, that's what starts happening in chapter 5 of Zechariah. The Spirit says, you're in, so I'm in. You're serious, so I'm serious. Do you really mean it? All that's come up to this point, you know, you have to think about this. Up to this point, the people who are the ones that Zechariah is prophesying to have left home and hearth, family and job, reputation and finance, comfort and security to come back to the burnt Jerusalem to rebuild it so the Father, so the God of the universe, so their precious Lord could have a home, a temple again. All right? They have suffered loss after loss to be in the place where they're at, these people. And they have gone through all kinds of stuff that's discouraged them and made them stop working for 16 to 18 years. And the Lord's saying, hey, let's go. I'm in. I'm still right there. I'm all about bringing forth my Son in you. Let's bring forth from these burnt stones a home for my Son in his glory, the Lamb. God's in. He has spent 4 chapters declaring over and over and over and over again, I am with you, I am for you, because you are with me and you want to be a home for my Son. I am serious, I want to do this, I will do this. And those who try to stop me, I'll deal with. I am in. I mean, you can read back in those first 4 chapters and write down how many times the Lord promises his heart is with those who want to be with the Son in this way. And I believe that at this point in the prophecy and the dealing of the Father, he's saying, okay, you're serious, I'm serious, but we can't just encourage each other all day. I mean, here's the deal. God can sit and just pour oil over me and speak encouragement to me about Christ filling me, and I can feel great and spiritual and important and wonderful and high and lofty and deep and deep and wide and all the things that I do until it's Christ in me. I mean, he can just keep sharing and teaching and filling things with his presence and his encouragement. But where's the house? You have to think practically, like, this is where the Spirit's kind of helping me, dealing with me. He's saying, that's great, but I just don't want an encouraged person with lots of teaching about my heart. I want a house for my son. Now, it requires encouragement. And it requires knowing the heart of the Father, and it requires being in his presence and drawing close and hearing deep and all. Yeah, that's hugely important. Can't go on without it. But there comes a certain point where the Lord says, okay, now I'm going to deal with you because you told me you wanted to be dealt with in this manner, to become a house for my son. Now, in order to do that, we're going to have to clean your house out. And what is he cleaning out of our house? The house that is you and that is me and that is us, but is meant to be the house of the Lamb. What would he clean out of that? He's going to clean us out of there, because Jesus is supposed to be the one who lives in that house. And he did the true and deep and eternal cleaning at the cross. Where even Paul said it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, so that it's not I, but Christ who's living inside of me. I am not the one living in this temple, which is my body. It is Christ who is living in me, because why? I was crucified. When I was crucified, God cleaned house. He got Kelly in her old nature, not my personality. You know, obviously, my personality is very much intact here. But that old nature of self, he got that out of the house so that his son in his eternal nature of love, the Lamb, could fill the temple, could fill me and you and us as his body and as his home. So he has to do some deep, deep cleaning. And I believe personally that this is where the rubber meets the road, or the hammer meets the nail meets the timber, the building begins. The practical, the stuff that affects us and can hit us the wrong way. This is where we see if we really are serious. This is where we ante up and say, it's easy to weep and cry and bear witness to deep truth and God's poured out loving Holy Spirit and presence. But we know, and he knows, that we're really serious about this when the hammer starts hitting and the Spirit starts dealing and the cross starts being applied to clean out the house for the Son. And the Holy Spirit starts crying in the wilderness of us, we got to get this place ready. Prepare ye the way. And what happens? Are we still in? Do we still have a heart that says, yes, Lord? Yes, that doesn't mean we don't go through stuff. I go through stuff. We all go through stuff. Most of the time, our first reaction is, oh, man, you know, just maybe a freak out or hurt or offense or, you know, first reaction, okay. But what do we say after we've had time to process and determine what we are going to be? What is our response going to be? What is our heart going to say? Do we say yes? Do we say, yes, Lord, do it. Go. Go as deep as you need to. And, you know, do we become what the Levites became? Our flesh's worst enemy. Our flesh's worst enemy. And we haven't even looked at the scriptures. Gosh, I'm sorry, but here I am just pouring out what God's been pouring into me, honestly. You know, the Levites became the portion that was the Lord's, when they did this one act, and you can look it up in the scriptures, when they turned against their own flesh and had no mercy on it. They stood with the Lord against their own flesh and said, I am on the Lord's side. I am not on the side of my flesh. That's just a picture in the Old Testament. That's just a story. I mean, it happened, but it's not the true picture. The true picture is when the Holy Spirit comes to you and me and wants to make us a place for Jesus to dwell. And he starts dealing, and we don't protect our flesh, justify our flesh, take side with our flesh. But we say, Lord, you apply the cross, you use your sword, you cut off the flesh. That is me in my old nature. And I am with you, and I am on the Lord's side, and he is my life. And I don't identify or protect or preserve or sanctify or lift up all that stuff that is designated to death and removal, crucifixion and burial in Christ and through him. You know, that really touched, you know, the Levites weren't preaching that day, they weren't praying that day, they weren't doing deep ministry acts that made them look so holy and spiritual. The day that God noticed the Levites was the day they stood against their own flesh and applied the sword to it and stood on the Lord's side. He said, now you guys have affected me, because when it counted, something eternal where my son could have his portion, the Levites became the son, the high priest. If you look in the scriptures, and if you want to search this out, then I just challenge you to find these verses on your own. But the Levites were given to the high priest as a gift from God after that. They became the Lord's because of the way they separated from their own flesh unto him. God took notice. It affected him deeply, and it had nothing to do with anything that we might call spiritual. It had everything to do with how they reacted when the cross was applied to their flesh and which side they took. That spoke to God. That was the measuring rod. And you know what? That should be the measuring rod for our lives. It certainly is for me. I never truly know how I'm doing with the Lord until the cross comes, the crisis comes, the situation comes where Kelly is exposed and confronted, and I choose whose side am I on? Am I one with Jesus the Lamb against myself? And I'm going to reinforce that death, and I'm going to take that cross, that sword of the Lord, and I'm going to say, you are hewn to pieces. You will not continue to usurp Jesus. That's when I know where I'm at. That's when we know where we're at. That's when the Holy Spirit knows, and that's when the Father knows. And if we're not there, we're not supposed to get caught up in ourselves and our flesh and identify in an old person. We're supposed to determine with our heart out of love, not fear and condemnation, but out of love for Jesus. I remove myself from me, and I separate myself to you are my identity. I'm covering you, not my flesh. I'm protecting your heart, Jesus, not justifying me. I am separating unto you with the sword of the Lord, and I'm allowing entrance in for the work of the cross to eradicate me, expose and remove and bury, so that Jesus can have a house that's clean and ready and prepared for him to fill, to be the life. That's why these people came all that way to Jerusalem. That's why they were there, to rebuild the Lord's house. David called it the house. Solomon called it his temple. But that place in Jerusalem was from the heart of David and from the heart of God. That was meant to be God's house. And so now we drop down here. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then I looked and I lifted up mine eyes. Then after all that encouragement, something's going to hit different now, because it's time. It's time for God to deal. Then I turned and I lifted up my eyes. I looked and this is what I saw. I saw a flying scroll. Holy God. He did not hear a sermon that day. He did not just hear a teaching on the internet. The word of the Lord became so huge and so active and so powerful, it was in flight. It was a scroll rolled open and flying. Its dimensions were 30 feet by 15. It's just this huge book flying in the sky. Why? Ready to be applied. Ready to come and fly into our house and do some business. It's, you know, the living word. Hallelujah. The word in action, I have written in my notes. The word in action. The open word flying into our beings to do what it needs to do. This is the powerful imagery of the word. And the word needs to become a flying scroll that's coming with purpose straight out of God, straight into us at this point. It's got to move past teaching and all that stuff into something that's going to fly right into us and deal. Verse 2, and he said unto me, what do you see? And I said, a flying roll, the length of it, 20 cubits, 10 cubits is its breadth. And then, verse 3, he said to me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for everyone that stealeth shall be cut off. On this side, according to it, that's one side of this flying book. And on the other side, everyone that sweareth shall be cut off according to the other side. And I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, that this flying book will enter into the house of the thief, and it will enter into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it's going to remain in the middle of that house until it consumes the timber and the stone of that house. So it's, how incredible is this? That the word of God can just fly into my heart and it can cut off. That's what happened at the cross. The old man was cut off, circumcised with the circumcision of God. The flesh was removed. That which was the old creation was crucified. Cut off on the cross in Jesus' death. The word of God can fly into my heart and deal with everything in me that is stealing the Lord's glory, because it's living in the house that was built for Jesus to be the glory of. It's swearing falsely. I'm using the name of the Lord in vain because Kelly's getting all the glory instead of it being Christ in me who is the glory. I'm stealing his glory. I'm using his name in vain. All of that because I'm trying to profit off of this house that belongs to Jesus. And I'm trying to profit by robbing God of his glory, robbing God of his place, taking his place where it should be his house. It should be his throne. It should be his home. It should be his habitation, his temple, filled with his presence and his glory. I came to Jerusalem, if I'm one of them, to build him a house. What am I doing trying to rob that to gain something for me? What would do that but my flesh? My flesh would try to do that, be somebody. My flesh would try to profit off of Jesus being a part of his house. My flesh would try to sneak in there and steal his glory. My flesh would try to sneak in there and be something instead of it being Christ all in and all. And so that word saying, that sneaky flesh that's stealing and robbing and profiting and using the name of the Lord in vain, it needs to be cut off. The cross needs to come. And what Jesus did in his death needs to be applied to those areas
that are using the house of God to be their house. And it needs to go in there, that living word of God, the dunamos and power of God based on the finished work of the cross needs to fly into my heart and take down everything in me that would lift itself up, that would rob God of his glory, that would take his place, that would take his name in vain. Basically, it's just me being the person who dwells there instead of Jesus, until it's cut off. Until it's consumed, and even the stones and timber that were used to make it for Kelly instead of for Jesus need to be brought down. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Can't you hear him crying? The Holy Spirit's on the job. He's building up the temple, but he said, before I build it up, I'm going to have to tear down some of this stuff, so that the right materials can come, so that we're ready for it to be his house. So here comes the flying scroll, and it enters into everyone who's willing to let it, with the power of God, because God sent it at such a time, in such a manner, in such a way, to literally cut off and consume everything that would steal the glory and rob Jesus of his house. Now, instead of being afraid or condemned by that personally, I am excited. I am so thankful. I want to tell the Holy Spirit, send another flying scroll. Go as deep as you need to go. Consume everything and cut off everything in me based on the death of Jesus that would steal his glory and rob him of his glory and take his place. Take down the timber and stone that would even house such a thing. Build me up into him. Build me in a manner that it's him alone. You know, God did that in Paul. Paul said, man, I am brought down. I am cut off. I am consumed. I am crucified with Christ, so that it's not me. It's Jesus who lives in me. I'm his house. The life I live it by him. It's Jesus. Can't you hear a vessel that let the flying scroll come in and do its work in the person of Paul? And oh, how God could use him, because it wasn't him, it was Christ in him that the Father sent forth and poured out. And it was Jesus who was living in Paul. Therefore, God could use Paul, because it wasn't Paul stealing the glory, and it was Jesus. And let me tell you, I believe with all my heart, if Paul didn't yield to the flying scroll and its work of destruction, its consuming and cutting, its double-edged sword application of our death, and the curse upon the flesh that Jesus bore for us on Calvary, he could never have been the one the Father sent, an apostle sent of God, because the Father only sends his Son. And I want the Lord. I don't care what it takes. I don't care how big that scroll is and how broad its wings are, how deep its entrance is, and how consuming it is in me. I want my heart to be ready for Jesus to be the one who can dwell there, and the Father can bring forth his Son there. The Father can send his Son from this house. The Father can pour his Son out of this house, and I won't be stealing his glory, taking his name in vain. I will know in all my being, I am dead. There is no good thing in me. If anything comes out of this house that gives life, it is Jesus. You know, I'm in, Lord. I'm in. And I know our hearts feel that way. And I believe the Lord knew the hearts of those gathered in Jerusalem felt that way too. Otherwise, they never would have come that far. They wouldn't have endured what they had up to that point if they weren't willing to let the cross do its work to build up that temple. And yet they are just a picture of us today. We are the true. And these things are for us and for me right now. And I want it. I just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then we have the second part of the chapter, which is the next vision. I think it may be the seventh vision. I call this vision taking out the trash. Taking out the trash. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but after you've excavated a big building and you've gotten, I know that I used to work landscape, and sometimes my boss would send the crew I worked with a bunch of guys, and we didn't just, you know, overalls and goggles and, you know, the whole for the wrecking crew. And there was times we'd go somewhere in Fort Worth or this and that, and it would be an abandoned mall or something. And they were cleaning, they needed someone to go in there, clean that place out so it could be used for something else. And, oh, the trash we'd carry out of that place. I mean, bucket load after barrel full after bag, just tons of junk, because the crew came in before us that was knocking down all the stuff that wasn't needed and all the old things that weren't part of what the new. And, we had to take out the trash. And it was a big job if it was a big renovation, you know. And I think that flying scroll, if it got its way, if it was yielded to and it did its eternal work in that whomever it flew into and yielded, that there would be, you know, some trash to take out after, you know, those timbers and stones that fell and all the things were cut off. I mean, this is truly what the cross has done, but isn't it neat to see it in a picture? It's just another angle, another way of processing and meditating and pondering the work of the cross in our lives. The prophets bring us that. They bring color and dimension in the spirit in certain ways that I don't always see in the New Testament. Not that it's better or worse. It's just all from the Lord to bring us in. And I just love the imagery here. It's so vivid. So vivid and beautiful. So this angel comes. And now I'm going to read again the Moffat translation because it is a bit easier. Just to basically comprehend the seventh vision, a woman in a basket. The messenger angel appeared and said, "Look up, tell me what you see." I said, "What in the world is that?" He said, "This is a bushel basket on a journey. It holds the sin of everyone everywhere." Then the lid made of lead was removed from the basket. There was a woman sitting in it. He said, "This is Miss Wicked." He pushed her head back down into the basket. I guess she was trying to get out, and clamped the lead lid over her. Then I looked up to my surprise, and I saw two other women flying with outstretched wings. They airlifted the bushel basket to Babylon, where it was made a garage for it to dwell in. Okay, there you have Moffat, and again, the abbreviated... Oh, did I take my bookmark out of there? That's not good. I liked the abbreviated version as well, if I can quickly turn to the page. Yeah, because it's good. All right. And Zechariah saw a bushel basket containing 100 pounds of lead. The angel said, "This is a woman in the basket named..." There's a woman in the basket named Wickedness. He thrust her back into the basket and placed the lead over her. Then Zechariah saw two women with wings like a stork. They picked up the bushel basket to carry it to the land of Babylon, where a house was to be built for it. Okay, so remember, these folks just came from Babylon. And in Babylon, there was a culture of prosperity and comfort and self-promotion. The whole culture was really built on, you know, the very things the Tower of Babel was built on, you know, just trying to get higher without it coming from the altar, trying to be great without it being the lamb nature, trying to be somebody. And, you know, this is the spirit of Babylon, and Babylon attacks the lamb. Read the book of Revelation. It's very anti-lamb spirit, Babylon is. And those who came out of Babylon, who fled Babylon to come back to Jerusalem, these are those in spirit and heart who said, "I don't want to have the spirit of Babylon, of self-promotion, of self-importance, of being high and gaining and prospering and all about me. I don't want that spirit in me. That's the spirit that crucified Christ. That's a nature that's so not the Lamb. I want Jesus and his spirit to dwell in me." And they're fleeing out of that Babylon to enter into the Lamb and to bear his nature and to have his spirit, to be one with God and who he is as a lamb, a slaughtered lamb. I don't want to be in the image of Babylon. I want to be conformed, transformed in the spirit of my mind, renewed, so the Lamb truly inhabits me. It's no longer me. I want that. So they're flying there, and, you know, isn't it funny that that can be a motive, a deep thing that's ever in our hearts, but sometimes we wander, and other things can overtake us on the surface, and we forget our first love and the reason we came in the first place and why we're really here. Man, I do that, and it breaks my heart, and the grace of God is merciful, loving kindness draws my heart back, and I just weep with gratitude because I never want to leave him. I never want to leave him, but it's easy to get drawn away. to be somebody, to be high, to be important, to be prosperous, to gain, you know, all the things of the world that Babylon represents. You know, and these are the things that we're trying to find entrance into the rebuilding of the temple. These are motives and intents that try to sneak their way into the house that's for Jesus. Sneak their way, and you can believe that God the Father is not happy with that because he crucified it in his Son. And you can believe the Holy Spirit is well able to discern what is Jesus and what is our flesh and cut it off by applying the finished work of the cross and consume it and take it out. Take out the trash. That's burial. That's removal. And, you know, I think that this woman in this lead bushel basket, you know, to my heart, I don't know if this is right or wrong. Man, these are just my thoughts. Please just ask the Lord, search it out for yourself. But here's a thought. That woman in the bushel basket, when I read it, it was like, that's all those motives in me that are Babylonian. It's like when Achan snuck in that Babylonian garment and tried to bring it in the land. And God said, that does not belong in the land. That Babylonian garment... Didn't Rachel or Rebecca try to do that? You know, they're sneaking in an idol or a garment, something from Babylon, in the place that belongs only to God and his seed and his spirit, his Son. You know, and these people, they were sneaking things from Babylon into the place where God was supposed to be building a house for his Son. But they weren't taking idols and garments. They were taking motivations and intentions and pride and leaven and ambition and all kinds of stuff that was Babylonian in nature. And they were trying to bring that into the house of God. So the Holy Spirit flies in like a flying scroll and points it out and calls it out and cuts it off and consumes it and sticks it in a huge wicker basket lead trash bin. And it's a woman. Stuffs her in there and puts a huge lead weight on top. And she tries to get out. She's trying to sneak out of that basket. She's trying to sneak out of the trash, find her way back into the temple. God says, you put that lid on there. You two winged angels pick up that lead trash can full of Babylonian motives. And you bring her back to where she belongs, to Babylon. And you build her a house there because she is a Babylonian and she should be in a house that's a Babylonian house. That's who she is. That's where she belongs. She does not belong in Jerusalem with the people who are coming to give my Son a home. That motive, that intention, all that stuff that's rising, all that pride and ambition, all that self-importance, it needs to be called out. It needs to be cut off. We need to be its worst enemy. We don't need to protect it or justify or be offended by it. We need to be offended by our flesh, not the flying scroll. Amen? We need to be offended by things that would try to steal the Lord's glory, not the flying scroll. And we need to get on the Lord's side. And we need to apply that cross with the Lord. Take that sword and let it consume it. And then we need to take out the trash and stick it in something where it ain't going to escape. Those motives and intents, that old nature of self, it has been crucified and removed through Jesus' death, and it's going into the grave. But in this picture, it's kind of a funny angle that the Lord takes here because it shows it's going back to what it is, back to Babylon, back to what it is after its kind, what it's chosen to conform to. You know, that same woman in that basket, she could have made a choice to conform to the Lamb, but she probably resisted. You know? No, I don't want to resist. I don't want to shut the door on the flying scroll. I want to open up. I want to let it do its work. I want to let the Holy Spirit take out the trash, because I am not the woman in the basket. I want to be one with the Lamb. I want to be his wife. I want to be of his wife. I want to be in that new Jerusalem that is a habitation that is made of transparent gold, so clear that all you see when you look at her is something that contains the Lamb of God. I want to be part of that, the new Jerusalem. And all that is of Babylon in me, I want it to be exposed, cut off, and sent away. I don't identify with it. I don't protect it. I don't call it me. I don't cover it. I don't feel ashamed of it or condemned. I say, that's not me. I am your worst enemy. I'm on the Lord's side. Lord, take it away. Separate the lamb from the goat in me. I'm not offended. When you call me a goat, I know what that goat is. That's that old creation that keeps trying to rise and steal the Lord's glory. Call it out, consume it, cut it off, and remove it. Separate it from the lamb in Jerusalem and send it back to Babylon. But I'm staying. I'm staying in Jerusalem with Jesus. I'm staying married to the Lamb. I'm staying prepared to be His house. All my heart says, yes, Lord. And even if my soul goes through stuff, and even if at times I go through things, I am one with Jesus, and I am here for Him, and I am with Him in this process. He's serious, I'm serious. Let's keep going, Lord. Build me into a habitation for Your Son. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. You are the potter, we are Your clay. Let it be Jesus, not me today. Have Thine own way, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your heart, for Your commitment, for Your love, for Your word, for Your faithfulness, for Your eyes that see us in Your Son, but are able to deal with us by Your Spirit to make it manifest down here. Lord, don't let up on us. Help us to not identify with old motives and leaven and things that rise. Help us to be totally identified with the Lamb, because we are one with Him. That's settled. When these things rise, when the Spirit comes, may we know with every fiber of our being who we are His. But may we have the passion to stand against even what rises in us and separate unto the Lord, and let it be dealt with by the cross. Let the trash be taken out, and let the house be cleaned and readied. And let the Father have a place for His Son in us. Be glorified, Jesus. We thank You for Your great love. You love those that You're able to go so deeply and deal with so preciously. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified. We just love You. We just want You in a real way this time. Thank You for Your heart. Father, all that is not of You or just me and my ponderings and my personality misrepresents You in any manner. Please forgive me, Lord. Protect people from that. Let their heart only hear what's You. We're just all together trying to find You, Jesus. We're just pressing in as one. We don't always know, but we press in because we have to, because we love You. So have Your way, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.